Oh, this is it.
Tes Amir Aleph 9a. In the Schattenstein is the first paragraph. It says Ravin Omar, fourth line from the top. Okay, before there was an argument in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, how many people do you need for Meitzi Shemra? Meitzi Shemra means a husband comes the day after the wedding, he says, my wife was not a virgin, and she committed adultery after the Kedushin. Okay? So Rav Meir says, you need 3, and the Chachamim say, you need 23. That was, and the Gemara gave a whole bunch of explanations to figure out what is the source of the argument. You're afraid of laws, not afraid of laws. He brought witnesses. Whatever. The bottom line, the Gemara starts a new explanation. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is kegen shenimtza echad min ha'edim karif apostle. One of the witnesses that they brought, in other words, they brought more than 2 witnesses, and they found out one of the witnesses was a relative or not a kosher witness. And they're arguing in the dispute between Rabbi Yasi and Rabbi, who argue in what Rabbi Kiva says. The Tanan, it says like this. Rabbi Kiva says, let me just explain this as follows. In the Torah it says, Alpi Shnayim Eidim, or Alpi Shlosha Eidim Yakum Dovah. Based on 2 witnesses or 3 witnesses, we establish something. So the Gemara asks, if 2 is good, why does the Torah say 3? There's a whole bunch of different reasons why the Torah says 2. Rabbi Kiva says, Leiba Shlishi Ela Lahachmer Olav, to make it stricter, Lassi's Dina Kiyetzibe, to make the same din, meaning like this. There's a din called Azam. This is what Rabbi Kiva says. There's a din called Azama. We learned, if 2 witnesses testify, Reuven killed Shimon on Monday morning in L.A. Comes another 2 witnesses and say, how could you 2 say? We don't know who killed Shimon. But how could you 2 testify that you saw the murder in L.A.? You were with us in Hawaii at that time. Right? So the din is, you believe the second pair. That's what the Torah says. You believe the second pair. And you do to them what they wanted to do to the first guy. In other words, these 2 witnesses wanted to kill Reuven because he testified Reuven killed Shimon. Now they became disqualified. So obviously Reuven's not going to get killed because there's no kosher witness. But they wanted to get Reuven killed. So the Torah says, you kill these two witnesses. That's what the Torah says. So now the question is like this. What happens if 3 witnesses testified and all 3 became disqualified? Does the third guy also get killed? Because he could say, one minute, 2 witnesses would have killed Reuven. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything more to the testimony because the 2 witnesses wanted to kill Reuven. What do you want from me? I'm a schlepper. I'm a third schlepper, the third wheel, that has nothing to do with it.
How do you establish who the third one is?
So he came last.
Oh, last.
Oh, so it's the first one is first, the second one is second?
Yeah. So Rabbi Kiva says no. Why does the Torah say Alpi Shnayim Eidim or Shloisha Eidim to teach me 3 is like 2? Just like you're going to kill the 2, you're going to kill the 3.
But not 4.
No, 400. It doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's machmir on everything.
Right. Leiba Shlishi Ela Lahachmir Olav. Right. Only to be Mar Machmir Lasis Dina Kiyetze Be'elu. To do the same din, like we said, that like Rashi explained, that even though the guy could say 2 is good enough, what do you want from the third guy? You still killed the third guy. So Rabbi Kiva just adds to this. Im came on a shakosif. If the Torah punishes, this is like a hashkofa. If the Torah punishes, tesam in Amid Aleph, as hanit for la'evi aveda, if the Torah punishes an accomplice, like the sinner, Allah has come of a kama shalim schad as a nitvalaisi mitzvah. Hashem will reward the accomplice of a mitzvah like the one that does a mitzvah. Here the third guy seemingly is only an accomplice. Because the sentence could be sentenced with the 2. Right? So Rabbi Kiva just asks philosophically. If the Torah kills the third guy who's only an accomplice, you can imagine how much reward an accomplice for a mitzvah gets. But then Rabbi Kiva continues. And just say by two people, if two witnesses come, and you find one of the two disqualified, Eidusin b'teila, the Eidus is bottle, it's not a kosher testament because you don't have two. Af shleisha, even if you have three witnesses, if one of the three is a relative or a non-kosher witness, Eidusin b'teila, the whole witnesses, the whole testimony is bottle. Meaning, just say, well, when the Torah says two and three, so in addition that three, you also kill all three. But if we give learn something else, two and three are equal. What do you mean two and three are equal? Just say by two, if one of them is disqualified, you don't have a witness, because you don't have two. The same thing, three, or the Gemara, even 100, if one out of the three, or one out of the 100 are not kosher, all 100 are not kosher.
You don't say you still...
You say, right, and you don't say that, well, you know, we have the 98 kosher, 98 kosher witnesses, so two are not good, or one's no good, who cares? You have two kosher witnesses. One second. How do I know even 100, if you have 100 witnesses, and one of them is disqualified, all 100 are no good? Because it says eid in plural, and that's what the Rabbi Kivolt. So Rabbi Kivolt, this is a famous rule in Halacha, eid de shebatla miksasa, batla kulu. Testimony, the part of it is no good, meaning because one of them is disqualified, all are no good. Rabbi Yasi says, this only applies bedina nefashas, by capital punishment. He's arguing, Rabbi Kivolt says across the board, even in monetary things, yeah? If one, you have 100 witnesses that I lent you money, and one of the 100 is a relative, there's no witnesses, period. Rabbi Yasi differentiates, it says, this din, that Eid is Shabbat l'miksasa bat l'kula, if part of them are no good, none of them are good, is only by capital punishment. Avo b'din imaminis, tizkayim Eid is bishar. Let the rest of the witnesses be valid. In other words, five witnesses come, one's no good, so you have four kosher witnesses, so the din stays.
By
monetary thing. Rabbi Eimer, Echadin Imaminis, Echadin Nefashis. It doesn't matter. He was like Rabbi Kiva. Doesn't matter money. One second. They must, but when? He makes a condition. Bizman Shehisru Bahen, when the non kosher witnesses also warned the sinner about not doing what he is about to do. Aval Bizman Shehisru Bahen. But if they didn't warn him, then they're not considered witnesses. We have, let's explain all the three and then we'll discuss this. Rabbi Kiva holds across the board. One's no good, they're all no good. Rabbi Yasi says, by capital punishment, I agree with you. One's no good, all are no good. By monetary things, it's good. As long as you have two kosher witnesses, it doesn't matter about everybody else. Rabbi Yasi says like this. Sometimes you disqualify all of them, sometimes you don't. And it does. Rabbi says it doesn't matter, monetary or capital punishment. It's all the same thing. But he has a different outlook on this. And he says like this: if the non-kosher witness warned, because witnesses have to warn the guy that he's committing a sin. Okay, if the non-kosher witness warned the sinner, then he's one of the witnesses. If he's one of the witnesses, then none of them are good. But if he didn't warn the guy, that means he's not intending to be a witness, then he's not counted as a witness. So the rest of them are kosher.
How could he not be a witness and not warn the guy and be the witness?
The third one.
Because he says there's two other guys warning him. What do I have to do it for?
Uh-huh.
Because like the Gemara says, I did. Mayatu shniachim. Because what do you do if two brothers and another guy watch a murder? What are you supposed to do? The fact that he didn't warn him, this was Rabbi Yosef. The fact that he didn't warn him means I don't want to be a witness. So again, the Gemara is going to explain that this is the argument between Rambam and the Chachamim. If by Meitzi Shema you need 3 or 23, okay. But let's get this straight because it's a very important rule in Allah in Gemara. According to Rabbi Kiva, Eid Shabbat L'Miksasa Bat L'Kula, under any circumstance. You have 100 witnesses, one is no good, all no good. It doesn't matter, you warned the wind, they want money, it doesn't matter. Okay, Rabbi Giva says, this is what the chiddush of the pasuk. It's exeris akosim, by the way. The Gemara says this is illogical. Okay? That there's 100 witnesses and one is no good, so all no good. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Right? Same thing, another in the similar thing, the Gemara says, I think they learn out even from the same pasuk, that 2 and 100 are the same. If 2 witnesses say guilty, and 100 witnesses say not guilty, they cancel each other out, just like they're equal. So logically, 100 is better than 2, but the Torah says no. 2 is like 100, that's it.
Mistrial.
Mistrial means they cancel each other out, there's no witnesses, see it. Now, Rabbi Yossi holds, this is only by capital punishment, not by monetary things. The monetary things, even if one's no good, doesn't matter, the rest are good. Rabbi says, it depends. If he intended to testify, the disqualified witness. How do we know he intended to disqualify? Because he warned the sinner that he's not allowed to do it. So then he's a witness, then he's part of the group. So if one is no good, none of them are good. But if he didn't warn the guy, he had nothing to do with it just because he saw it, doesn't disqualify him as a witness.
What's the chiddush of Rebbe?
Doesn't disqualify the other witness.
Witness without warning is not a witness.
That's what. But he says, why do I have to warn him? There's another 2 witnesses warning him. What do you need me for?
I know, but what I'm saying, by definition, he's not a witness. What is Rebbe saying? There's no chiddush in it. Of course he's not a witness.
Oh, he's a witness who didn't testify, who didn't warn him.
How could the witness not? I mean, if he doesn't warn, so it's not a witness.
Because we're going to see in a second that the Rishonim are writing the fact that you didn't warn him shows you don't want to be a witness.
But by definition, a witness has to warn. Isn't that right?
No, but there's 2 warners.
No, I'm just saying something.
Okay, the practical case of this. The practical case of this, we said, learned many times. This din is very practical. By a wedding. Okay? You need 2 witnesses for Kedushin. Correct? When the guy gives a ring, you need 2 witnesses. Now, around in the chuppah, you have a father, a brother, tons of relatives watching the way the chassan is giving the ring. Right? They're not kosher witnesses. Hmm. It's a father, a brother, mishpacha, they're not kosher witnesses. Right? Why doesn't that invalidate the whole kedushin?
Because we made a condition before.
Not a condition.
They don't have intent of.
No, because that's why you call up the names of the witnesses. Why do you designate witnesses? And sometimes they even add to the exclusion of all others. What are they accomplishing by that? They're saying that nobody else in this room could be a witness. They're disqualifying every relative in the book. They're disqualifying everybody else in the room except these 2. Now once you disqualify them, they're not witnesses. Like the Gemara says, what the Gemara's going to, I just read it, but in cold-blooded murder during the day, Reuven kills Shimon, and 5 people saw it. It so happened 2 brothers were walking in the street, their father and their son were walking in the street, and they saw the murder. Right? Now, what do you do? What do you do? Or the Gemara says another example. Kiddush Levana, not Kiddush, what we do. When the witnesses have to see the moon, come to Besdin and testify they saw the moon, Thousands of people could have seen the moon. Fathers, brothers, sisters, uncles, dogs, in-law, whatever. Everybody could have seen it. Yeah? So shall if a dog-in-law is a kosher witness. So the question is, so what do you do? So the Gemara says, here in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, what you do is, they don't come to Besdin to testify. If they're not coming as witnesses just because they saw it, doesn't mean they're witnesses. Correct? So what happens if 5 people are walking in the street and 2 happen to be brothers or whatever? What happens if one guy goes to Bez and the other one goes home and the other witnesses testify? So the Gemara, the Rebbe holds, if you don't warn the witness, the sinner, the guy who's about to sin, then the fact that you didn't warn him means you're not a witness. So Rebbe says, there's no difference between monetary and capital punishment. The main thing is, did you intend to be a witness? How do we know if you intended to be a witness? If you weren't the guy, that means you intended to be a witness. And therefore you witness, your testimony disqualifies everything, whether it's capital punishment or monetary issues. So there's three opinions. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's never good. It disqualifies it under every circumstance. Rabbi Yossi says only capital punishment and not by monetary. And Rabbi says it doesn't matter monetary capital. There's another issue here. If you warned the guy, or meaning you intended to testify, then it nullifies the rest. And if not, not. What?
What if he did not?
Like one second. What?
It looks like a big loophole because let's say you have two good, kosher, smooth witnesses.
No.
And then two people want to invalidate these two good witnesses. So two relatives jump in and they say, we're also witnesses. Mm-hmm. Kills the whole thing.
Correct.
It's a loophole in the law.
Can the court not accept them?
I told you it's exerce cause. Why? Well, if one's no good, the other 99 are no good. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, but the Yibishter said this is the way it is.
People come and spoil the whole case.
Because that means that Hashem didn't want him to get killed.
They also conspired.
I'll tell you why. Maybe the one that got killed was supposed to get killed. Mechlal.
You can mess with the law.
Yeah, you can conspire, in fact, to say... At that time...
No, yeah, the Bezin checks out, make sure they were there and they're testifying. That's
they conspire to be there when the guy is about to kill him.
You mean the guy is about to kill somebody, he says to relatives, come here, watch me.
And then go on and...
Watch me kill the guy.
That's right.
If he can do that, yeah.
Yeah, they do that to the women in Saudi Arabia.
It's so easy. You have community killing. Two brothers jump in the bandwagon as real witnesses.
That's right.
Jews don't do that.
Rabbi, what if you don't have the opportunity to forewarn the guy that is about to kill?
He doesn't get killed.
He just, in a swift thing, he kills, and you see that he
doesn't
have a chance to warn.
He does not get capital punishment. That's the halacha.
Wow.
So the act of seeing that event
doesn't
make them witness. The act of giving the warning...
Well, both. If I warn you and then left and I didn't watch it, it's also not a witness.
Right, both.
Right, you need to warn and watch.
But by definition, so that's not... So what is really
saying?
Let me always
say, let's go back philosophically. Reuven kills Shimon, nobody saw. He gets off the hook?
Yeah.
No, not Minashemayim. Minashemayim, God will deal with him. That's what it says in Chumash. V'lekim ino liyodei. Rashi says, what happens if somebody killed somebody and there were no witnesses, so he's off the hook, right? Then, so what's going to happen to him? One day somebody's going to fall on him and kill him accidentally, and he has to run to the city of refuge, right? But the bottom line is, the guy got killed. Granted, Bezdin couldn't kill him, but Hashem killed him another way. That's the way Hashem runs the world. But if Reuven kills Shimon and nobody watched, yeah? So what's the story? Hashem wanted him off the hook, what can I tell you? What happens if it worked out in such a scenario that one of them are not kosher? So it's not kosher. You can't do anything about it.
Killed the whole law system.
Yeah.
It doesn't work as easily as that.
Okay, he's off the hook for so he can't kill him, but can you collect the damages from him?
Oh, so the Taisis over here discusses, because L'cheira, Rabbi says it doesn't matter monetary laws or capital punishment. If you warned him, yeah, if not warned. By monetary, there's no warning. There's no warning by monetary issue. Right. So it's a different thing that you intended to testify, whatever. I mean, but that's what the Gemara means. It doesn't ruin the whole system because, according to Rabbi Kiva, Bachal, it's across the board.
Even by monetary things. And
that's a lot like Rabbi Kiva. But that's why by a wedding, you designate witnesses, because otherwise, everything it's going to be disqualified.
I was by a wedding. There were two good witnesses, and then they wanted me also to be a witness. And if I didn't say that I'm a relative. Would it ruin the
ksuba? The ksuba would be invalid. If three people, that's why you only have two people signing ksuba. By some Persians, they signed 1,000 people on the ksuba.
Yeah.
But the problem is they sign it on the back.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're not really the witnesses.
Right.
Because witnesses is only right afterwards on the two lines. It's not a very good thing to do, by the way, halachic. I don't know what their Sephardic source of this is. But if they're signing as witnesses.
If one of those thousand is the relatives.
Yeah, they're all the relatives.
All relatives.
All relatives.
Always as a respect.
Yeah, no, respect.
Respect. Respect might disqualify the thing. But
one
but,
more thing.
Well, one second. But one sometimes the chos, not in Ashkenazic, but there are certain times that the chosin also signs the ksuba.
The
chosin? The chosin.
Wow.
Sometimes there's the gamani. Sometimes it says I see not by yesh. Sometimes it's seen by some sfaradic one that the chosin also signs the ksuba, but he's not signing as a witness. He's signing that I'm obligating myself obligation. Because when you do the kinyan with the chosin's obligating himself to the ksuba, right? So at the end, he signed. I'm writing that I'm also binding myself.
Is a relative only blood relative or also by marriage?
That's sometimes also, by marriage also.
That's also relative.
It's balki ishtei, but you don't say trei balki ishtei.
Well, in any situation.
Now I'm telling you, two cousins cannot testify.
Okay.
Cousins are not kosher.
What about by marriage?
One second. Two cousins cannot testify.
Why is that?
Relatives.
Just because they're.
There's the whole section Shulchan in Chayshim Mishpat Siman Lamed Dalet, I believe it is, discusses how far the relatives go. Lechatchila, you go even as far as you can. You know, even if a slight relative, you try not to do it. But al pidin, brothers are no good. Parents, children, you know that. There's what's called rishon berishon, sheni besheni. Like, brothers are rishon berishon, first and first. Cousins are called sheni besheni. Then their kids would be sheni besheni, I mean, shlishi beshlishi, or sometimes shlishi besheni. What's called in America, first cousin once removed, second cousin once removed, okay? Now, what happens if two women are cousins? The women are cousins. Okay? Can one of their husbands testify in that situation? So the answer is no. Okay? But what happens if the two husbands, can they be witnesses? So over there it's two husbands, today, that you don't say. In other words, one husband, he couldn't testify. If there's one husband, he couldn't testify in the family thing over there. But the two husbands of two cousins are not considered relatives. Halach, in Chathili, you don't take them. Okay? But brothers-in-law, it's not blood relatives, and not kosher witnesses. Fathers-in-law, mothers, I'm a mother anyway, not. But I'm saying, sons-in-law, they're all non-kosher witnesses, even though it's not blood.
50% of the Los Angeles Sephardim ketubas are pasul, if this is the case.
Oh, no, so. No, because the actual two witnesses that they sign
are
relatives, not relatives. What they sign in the back is we go in the back. You can write whatever you want. Huh?
The back is okay.
Your back is okay. Nothing to do with it.
Okay.
One second. If you have a document that I owe you $1,000, and two witnesses sign on the back, it's worthless. Worthless. Anybody could do that. You can take any document. Has to be not only that. If there's a halachically, it's very complicated rules of witnesses. By the way, you ever notice the two witnesses sign right under the ksuba? There's no space. If you have a space of a line between the document and the witnesses, it's not kosher.
Yeah.
You know why? Because after the witnesses sign, you can fill in whatever you want.
The fancy ketubas are like that.
No, they're
the
not
fancy,
supposed. To,
fancy
they're not supposed to be the fancy even not. The witnesses are. If I'm not saying if it's not kosher, I'm saying if it's an orthodox, for lack of a better word, if it's an orthodox ksuba, so then this no matter how fancy it is, the witnesses are mamish under the document because otherwise it's not kosher because then you could have whatever you want. It's like even in a check, you know, when you write a check.
Yeah.
The proper way of writing a check, if I write, let's say, Chabad, yeah? And the rest of the line is blank, yeah? Somebody could write afterwards, or Mr. So-and-so.
Some people put an X or a
that
line.
They put an X, that's why by the amount, for sure they make a line.
Right.
Otherwise, you can add whatever you want. This is the same concept.
Mm.
So you can't do anything, otherwise the witnesses are not good.
I I take back what I said.
What?
On a check, you could say or.
Yes. Sure.
I didn't know that. I didn't try that.
Why not? Pay to the order of Mr. A or Mr. B. Think about it. Huh? Yes, it will. Why not?
Both of them have to endorse it, though.
Not if it says or. If it says and, you need both. If
it says and or.
If it says or, you give the second guy.
It's the same color of the ink, and the same thing is the same, they cash it.
Allah, according to law, even if it's a different color. Doesn't matter.
The
teller will go to manager. Okay, so you go to because the teller doesn't want to get fired. That's all. Okay. Anyway, let's go.
Why do I, as a simple Jew, need to know this law?
I just said why. When you go to a wedding,
I call the rabbi, and rabbi will tell us what to do.
Got to be self-sufficient.
1 minute. First of all, a Jew doesn't learn Torah because Torah is not a means to an end. The learning Torah itself is a mitzvah. It's an end by itself. Okay? If you want to learn, for me, to learn about pharmaceuticals, if I'm not planning to go into the business, is a waste of time. Right? But what am I learning for if I'm not doing anything with it? Like most of the things the kids learn in school today, social studies, geography, most of the math, we just talked about this by my table yesterday, most of the things the kids learn in school, math. How many of you are using, maybe you, because you're not going to, how many of you are using algebra, geometry, calculus? Who uses that? You, because you're a scientist. But the most normal people don't use it. Most of the things you learn in school,
2%
maybe 2%. Is it, by Torah, it's not like that. The actual learning is a mitzvah. It doesn't matter if it's relevant or not. The actual learning is a mitzvah.
But the answer to that is in civil law. Like you say, why should I know all traffic laws?
No, because you want a license. That's a different story. You can't tell a cop when you go through a red light, I didn't know you can't.
A pedestrian should know the laws too, then.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, if you jaywalk, you get a ticket.
Yeah.
Can the Masada condition be one of the witnesses?
Yeah.
Can what?
No, the rabbi, officiating rabbi, could be one of the witnesses.
Can the rabbi be a family?
Yes, it is.
The rabbi could be a family, but then he can't be a witness.
There was a certain very prominent rav in the city that up to 10 years ago had non-kosher witnesses for ketubah, including myself.
Oh, no. So what did you do? You do it again?
Well, I personally had to go to Rav Shustam and change the ketubah with the kosher witnesses. But a lot of other people don't know about this. So why do we need to know this?
Rabbi, if you want to stay married, you should know. Rabbi,
if your friends ask you to be the Masada condition, do you have to be a rabbi to be Masada, or you just read from the Siddur?
No. The Gemara says, "Kol mi sheinei yodea b'tiv gittin u'kedushin le'yaseh kimoyim." The Gemara says, "Whoever is not an expert." Let me ask you a question. You're a doctor, yeah? Is it okay if I do surgery? You ask me to do surgery. I'll just do surgery. I mean, I cut the guy open. Yeah? Yes or no? Why not?
You can mess up.
Oh, but I say I know what to do. I watched it a few times. No, serious. A guy said, I watched surgery a few times. I could do it.
On TV.
Yeah, on TV. Yeah. No, I'm serious. What do you mean, just do Masada Kedushin? You have to know what you're doing. Okay, so anyway, coming back to the Gemara. What's the Gemara saying over here? The Gemara is saying, the argument between the Chacham and Rab Meir, if you need 3 or 23, is the argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. Okay? The Chachamim agree with Rabbi's opinion that that if you wanted to warn him, okay, then they're all no good. So therefore he says like this. Okay. What was the case? Meitzi Shemra. Yeah, Meitzi Shemra. Meitzi Shemra. He said the wife was committed adultery before. Now they had to warn her. Okay? So now, the testimony, the guy didn't warn her. So therefore the testimony is good. Okay, therefore, the court of 23 is required, the Chacham say.
He didn't warn her.
Huh?
He
did warn her.
If he's ineligible, but he did not warn them.
Why didn't he 23?
One minute, then the Chacham say 3 is enough. Mm-hmm. No. I'm sorry. What happens like this? They hold like according to Rab Yaisi, in capital punishment, then you need to nullify them. Okay, then they become not in monetary issues. In monetary, even if one of the 300 are no good, it's still good. According to Rabbi Yaisi, right? So that's the case. The case was like this. One of the witnesses did not warn the woman that she's committing adultery. Okay? So according to Rabbi, it's a non-kosher witness because he didn't warn them. So therefore, Rabbi Yaisi holds the only thing left is monetary issue. So therefore, Bezdin of three is enough. That's
according to Rabbi Yaisi.
Right. That's Rabbi Meir. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yaisi, and therefore it's invalidated for the capital punishment because that witness didn't warn her. And therefore, it's only a monetary case of three. According to the Chachamim, they don't hold like Rabbi, who differentiates. So therefore, they hold that you need a bezin of 23.
So she pays monetary penalty for that?
No, it works the other way. If the husband is lying, he has to pay either 50 or 100, depending on the case. And otherwise, he doesn't get it, she doesn't get anything.
She doesn't get the ketubah.
Right.
Monetary never needs a hasra.
Monetary never needs a hasra.
I mean, there's no machloket. Everybody agrees.
How can you have warning by monetary?
I don't know. But
I lend you $1,000 with witnesses. What are we warning?
Killing those? Also, the guy killed and he didn't get a chance to warn him. I mean, I just saw him. The guy killed the other guy.
No.
No warning. Where is the warning? I'm not warning it.
So therefore, there's it's not a good testimony.
So that's what I'm saying.
You know, but what do you warn by monetary? It's not shaykh to have warning by monetary things.
We say it every day in Hilchot, it says, don't cheat. In the morning we say,
don't cheat, you go to business, you cheat.
Yeah, today.
Let's say that's in the morning, you say, don't cheat, you go to business, you cheat.
Yeah. So, that's a hasra, no?
No, it means like this. If I see somebody breaking somebody's window, monetary damages, I'll be then, I don't have to warn him. He still would have to pay. It's monetary. No, but over there it's shaykh to warn him. Yeah. When you're damaging somebody, the question is, do I need to warn him that don't damage, and if you damage, you have to pay. So the Gemara says you don't need by monetary issues. You never need it.
When they say witnesses, in case of capital punishment, they have to warn and see that it's actually done.
Correct.
What about in case of adultery? They have to see
them walking into a home alone. Or yichud.
I'll tell them, listen, by you going there by himself, it's going to constitute adultery.
Right.
Don't do
correct.
I see. So manhira is more chamor than dinana for sure.
With what?
With regard to aiding. You don't have to warn or anything, so dinana is
less
chamor.
Less chamur.
No, you don't even have to warn.
Yeah, but it's monetary versus killing. What are you talking about? Kill somebody, you need to warn him.
As far as
not only kill him, by the way.
If
a malchus also, you have to warn him. If somebody's about to eat chazer, that he gets whipped, not the capital punishment. You have to warn him. If the two witnesses didn't warn him, and we learned before, according to one opinion, you have to tell him capital punishment, and one opinion we learned before, you have to tell him which capital punishment. Mm-hmm. It was one of the six explanations of the Gemara before. That they warned the guy, the woman, but they didn't say which capital punishment.
Rabbi, I met some people in downtown that they say they refuse to wear tzitzis only because they have to do certain things in business that is not the best. So.
Well, why can't they wear tzitzis under without the tzitzis out? Nobody knows.
I tell them the same thing. They say they don't want to be, hypocritical. Whatever. So
they want to be hypocritical.
Yeah.
So they cheat, but they don't.
They don't
wear tzitzis and don't cheat.
They don't call what they do in business cheating.
Making a living.
Downtown business.
It
would make sense to warn them to say what you're doing is not downtown business. It's actually cheating against.
They obviously know that they're doing wrong. That's why they're not wearing tzitzis. So they know what they're doing is wrong. What do you have to warn them about?
And it's against the Torah.
They don't know?
They think it's that's everyone does it in downtown, and that's the way to do it, and that's.
Some people don't wear tefillin for that reason either. So a lot of things.
What do you mean they don't?
They say, "Oh, I don't feel like wearing tefillin because I'm a good, not a good person. I cheat, whatever."
It's just a cop out.
Okay, next. Iboy Seymour, another explanation between the argument between Rabbi and the Chacham is like this. The witnesses didn't warn him, but somebody else did. And this is another argument in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to quote. What happens if somebody is doing an Aveda and the witnesses didn't warn them, but somebody else did? Is that called a proper warning? Okay, it's speaking, Hisra Ba'achedim, other people warned them. But the witnesses didn't warn them.
In the presence of witnesses?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Hmm. Or in this case, other witnesses warned the wife, but not, I mean, other people warned the wife not to do it, but not the witnesses. Come and flee, get blue to Rabbi Yisiv Rabban. They're arguing the argument to Rabbi Yisiv Rabban. The Tanan, Rabbi Yisiv Yemed, Le'ela, Meina Nedag, a person can never get killed. Achiopi, Shnei, Eid, the Masimbe. The two witnesses must warn him. Who has to give the warning?
Yes.
Only the witnesses. Shenamal pishnayim edim. But the chachamim, they disagree with Rabbi Yisi, and they hold it doesn't matter who warns them. Okay. So what's the case of the argument to Rabbi and the chachamim? If you need 23 or 3, yeah. The argument is very simple. If you hold the case was the witnesses did not warn the wife. Somebody else did. Right? Now, if you hold it's not a good warning, so then it's not capital punishment anymore. It's only left with the monetary issue. So then 3 is enough. If you hold that warning from other people still valid, then it's still a capital punishment case. If it's a capital punishment case, you need 23. It's very simple. In other words, the Gemara is trying to figure out what's the difference that one holds 3 and one holds 23? Yeah? So the Gemara is basically all these explanations are coming to one thing. If it turns out to be capital punishment, then you need 23. If it's not capital punishment, then you need 3. The only question is, based on all the arguments that the Gemara is bringing down, is it capital punishment? Is it not capital punishment? If the Edom need to warn him and they didn't, so then, according to one opinion, it's not capital punishment. If it's not capital punishment, 3 is enough. If you hold the witnesses don't have to be the warners, anybody can warn them, as in the case of the woman, right? Somebody else warned her, so and you hold it's still good warning, so then you need 23. The Gemara is just, you know, explain the simple cases over here.
As far as witnesses, is there an age difference between the woman and a man? Hmm? Like a man qualify at a certain age to be a witness? And a
women are not kosher witnesses ever.
They're not? Oh, they're not kosher.
No.
Even so in a case of a...
Because I know women don't like this, but it's not a logical thing either. The Torah says the two men shall stand as witnesses. So the Gemara learns out men and not women.
It doesn't matter what case.
Well,
I thought for
kashrut. Oh, isur, by isur, not monetary, not capital. For kosher and not kosher, forbidden, not forbidden. Like we said many times, a guy comes home from work, his wife serves him dinner and he eats it, yeah? How do you know it's kosher? From a halachic perspective, who's testifying this food is kosher? The answer is the wife is. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, how is the wife believed to say it's kosher?
And only one wife also.
Yeah, one person. Because Eidach and Nambi Sunan.
One wife.
Right? So the thing is, women are trusted. When it comes to all the laws of Nida, the woman is trusted to say she went to the mikveh. How do you know she went to the mikveh? Maybe she didn't. Maybe she went for a ride.
What about in case of rape? If two women say, well, I saw this man.
Again, for whatever reason, it's just like if two relatives saw it. The bottom line is, it's not kosher.
Is it murder? 1,000 women see the murder?
And there's a murder, and Moshe and Aaron see the murder. No, so what do you do then?
No,
what do you do?
There's only women see it.
And if only Moshe and Aaron saw the murder?
The two brothers.
They're family.
Yeah, but they're
women.
It's not their fault.
Not only that, the Gemara says David Malach Yisrael wasn't allowed to be a witness either. Malachi were not allowed to testify.
Why? Because it's disrespectful to the king?
No, whatever, it's exerts a kosev.
But he can take him to court, though, right?
Yeah.
Or ever. Doesn't have to be being.
David cannot.
No, David. He can never be a.
It's exactly because it's not a logical thing. It's not because they're good or not good. The Torah says
the sheikh is considered a king, right?
Yeah.
He cannot be witness either.
Right.
What's the logic behind a woman not because...
There's no logic. No logic.
It's all emotional.
No! Don't you ever say that loud.
They have no logic.
Dante, by the way, should I say who said it? It's nothing to do with emotional, intellectual honesty and this. It has nothing to do with that. Torah says it's completely logical. Two is like 100. Why? Moshe and Aaron, yeah? You can't get two more honest people than Moshe and Aaron, right? Yet if they saw a murder, it's worthless. Just because they're brothers, so what? So they're no good? They're liars? I mean, just because they're relatives, what disqualifies them? There's no logic there. Moshe and Aaron should be the best witnesses ever. Right? Just because they happen to be brothers. It's not their fault either that they're brothers. But that's it. So they're not allowed to testify.
I heard that just like witnesses are not allowed to judge because they're too emotional that they saw it.
Not because, no, that's not because they're emotional. It's not true.
Because they're not biased. When you become...
Because once you see something, okay, you can't be objective.
That's what he's saying.
That's not emotional. Wow. It's not objective or subjective. It's not an emotional issue.
It's the emotion.
Women are emotional.
It's emotion that causes them to be subjective.
Once you saw
it. Once you see, the Torah says, v'shavto ha'eda v'tzilo ha'eda. The judge has to be completely objective. Okay? So when I hear something from somebody, it's not certain by me yet. I can hear the other way. I can think the other way, right? Yeah. If I saw it, you could have 100 witnesses coming against me. Mm. It's not going to change my mind. And then you're not objective. And the Torah says you have to be objective.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But I mean,
if you see, it's not...
Ain't eid nasa dayin, the Gemara says. Oh, a witness cannot become a judge. In capital punishment, by the way. In capital punishment, you can't be a judge because... then you're not objective.
Shkoyach tu yaneshama.